If you would open your Bibles to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, if you would, there's an insert in your bulletin. We're going to be going through a lot of different scriptures this morning. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 18. We found your place in God's Word, if you would stand. Now, the honor of the reading of God's Word. Matthew 16. In verse 18, Jesus is speaking and says this, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I'm amazed at the audacity, the insolence, Father, the arrogance, the blasphemy that people would try to govern your church. That people would try to override your will in your own house. Father, it is my prayer that you would teach us how to listen for the voice of the shepherd, and that we would follow you wherever you go. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. After the morning service, we're going to have a members-only meeting to discuss Glenn serving as an elder within our church. But we want to make sure that we consider not just that matter, but all matters, the way Jesus Christ would have us to consider them. And so what we're going to be looking at is, how is a church supposed to make decisions? Or decision-making within the church. And this applies to this afternoon, but this applies to everything. You see, most churches our size have business meetings, a moderator, parliamentary procedures, Robert's Rules of Order, votes. They have amendments, motions, majority vote, supermajority vote. And that's the way decisions are made within those churches. However, parliamentary procedures, moderator, Robert Rules of Order, motions, amendments to motions, business meetings, and votes are not found anywhere in the Word of God. That should frighten you. That the way that most churches make decisions is not found anywhere in the pages of Scripture. How do the Christians in the Word of God make decisions? That is our question. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the teachings of our Savior, the teachings of the apostles and the Word of God, and we are going to see what the Word of God says on how we as Antioch Baptist Church make decisions. I want to go ahead and say from the get-go, we will not be like the nation of Israel and ask for a king so we can be like everybody else. All the other Baptist churches are dying. We don't want to be like them. We want to follow Jesus Christ, and who cares what the dying church down the road does? Maybe they're dying because of what they do, because it's not found in the Word of God. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of do connect the dots this morning. We're going to be putting out different teachings in the Word of God, and we're going to see how all of those teachings come together to paint a picture and answer the question how we as a church should make decisions. It begins in Matthew 16, verse 18. I will build my church. Whose church is it? It is Jesus Christ's church. And if it's your church, it's not a church. It's a synagogue of Satan. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. This is not your church. It's not your mother's church, your father's church, your grandfather's church. This isn't the community's church. This is not a Baptist church. This is not a congregational church. This is the church of Jesus Christ, or it's a synagogue of Satan. There is no middle ground. The church belongs to Jesus Christ, period. Keep reading. Ephesians 1:22. And God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Because this is Jesus' church, Jesus rules over most of the decisions. All the decisions. Every single one of them. Colossians 1:18. And he, that is Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. This is Jesus' church, and he makes all the decisions in his church. That's what Scripture teaches. I'll tell you a little story. You know, I'm one of seven kids. And I can still remember where I was sitting at the dinner table in Milton, Florida. We were talking about a weekend, and we were going to do something. I don't remember what we were talking about. But I remember all seven of us kids decided, why don't we put it to a vote, Mom and Dad? Let's put it to a vote. And my mom and dad said, that's completely fine. Our votes count as 10. That is the way the church goes. Jesus Christ gets his way, or you cease to be a church. Now I want you to think with me of the sheer arrogance and audacity that many Baptist churches operate in. Let me ask you this. Let's say that you this afternoon, out of the goodness of your heart, because you are gracious and kind, invited everyone here to your house for lunch. That is very gracious, is it not? What would you think if while we sit in your home, in your living room, we formed a committee and voted to remodel your house, to take down your pictures and put up someone else's pictures, to kick you out of your bedroom and let someone else have it, to vote where your money in your bank account is spent? How would you feel? Yet Baptist churches do it once a month on Wednesday night in business meetings. They tell God what takes place in his house. And that is blasphemy. This is his house. You and I don't get a say. And to think so is the height of arrogance. My goodness. It's like a 2-year-old trying to tell their parents what's supposed to be for dinner. It's a visitor in someone else's home telling them how to spend their money. This church belongs to Jesus Christ, and he rules over all of it. So when we begin to talk about decision-making in the church, that's the very first thing we need to remember. This is Jesus' church. It's his way, or we are a synagogue of Satan. Next thing we need to look at. 1 Peter 2:25. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The word shepherd and bishop here refers to Jesus Christ. The word shepherd can also be translated pastor. The word bishop refers to the office of elder, overseer, presbyter. It's referred to many different things in Scripture. There is one office being spoken of here, and that is the office of the pastor, elder, the bishop, overseer, presbyter. That is what is being referenced here. Notice, who is the pastor of the church? Jesus. Who is the elder of the church? Jesus. Not man. Jesus. Notice this in Matthew 23, verse 8. Be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all of you are brethren. Keep reading. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Notice this in Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, okay, that's pagans, exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Remember that. Whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Remember that. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. I want you to notice the second thing we need to remember. First is this is Jesus' church. The second thing we need to remember is we are all brothers. I was talking with Rock about this a couple weeks ago. The idea of a prominent member of the church is from the pits of hell. There are no prominent members. We are all brothers. There are no special titles. There is no special honors. All titles and all honors go to Jesus Christ. I appreciated what you said this morning, Dan. Not ever going to be about me. It's always about Him. We are all brothers. Equal. Level playing field. You see what happens in churches, especially when you got voting, is you know what you do? You got teams. Right? How many of you have been Baptist churches with teams? Or sides? Or cliques? Or circles? Or groups? You can call them whatever you want to, but we would call it schisms and heresies, as Paul calls it. And you know what happens? Here comes a new member. We got to get him on our team. You know what? These people don't come to church anymore, but we got to keep them on the rolls as the cavalry in case the other side gets too big. Because then when the vote comes, we'll call in all the inactive members and they'll vote our way. How many of y'all have ever been to church like that? That's not a church. That is a synagogue of Satan. That is not Christianity. It's not. Have you ever wondered where moderators and Robert's Rules of Order and committees and motions, where they came from? The pagan business world. That's the way pagans do business. And just a little bit, we're going to see why they do it that way. But I want you to notice what Jesus emphasizes. There is no prominent person. Okay? The church does not follow a man. Okay, and we can put whatever category or title we want to, because what happens in the church is if you say one name, everyone goes, Amen. But they're really fighting for another name. How many of y'all have ever been people? We can't stand the deacons. The deacons are running our church. So who do you think should? Well, the Sunday school teachers, because I'm a Sunday school teacher. How many of y'all have ever seen that? You know what? That church council, we can't stand them. Well, who should we listen to? Well, the deacons. Oh, that's convenient. You're a deacon's wife. How many of y'all have ever seen that? Does it not happen? We shouldn't listen to them. They just joined the church 3 months ago. So who should we listen to? The person who's been a member the longest. What's the difference? It's the same thing. It's paganism. That's the way Gentiles behave, not the people of God. This idea that we should follow you because of you, because you have attained some level of spirituality, because you have some title, that you should follow me because I'm the pastor or whatever, is from the pits of hell. The church does not follow man. We are an equal playing field. There is no, I'm going to hitch my wagon to him. No. You know, some people have falsely said that the reason we want elders in the church is so a small group of people can run everything. You know the people who say that? The small group of people who want to run everything. It's the truth. No, elders are just church members. Pastors are just church members. I encourage you to go study one of the things that God hates, and He repeats over and over and over He hates. It's the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Go study the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It comes from two Greek words. Niko, or Nike, means to conquer. Laity, to conquer the laity. The idea that there are ordained clergy and then there's the rest of the people is from the pits of hell, and God hates it. pastors are just members of the church. Deacons are just members of the church. There is no flow chart. You know, I'm sure you've seen in businesses, they've got the flow chart, you know, like the founder of the company, and then you got the CEO, and then you got the board with the CFO and COO and all the others. And then you go down, you got the management and the directors and the supervisors, and then you got the rest of everybody else. In the church, there is no flow chart. There's Jesus, and there's everybody else. It doesn't go Jesus, then the senior pastor, then the associate pastor, then the group, the board of elders, and then the deacons, then the church. There is none of that. We are all brothers. Okay? It's like my family. We're all just kids. And we can vote all we want to, but what mom and dad says goes. And it doesn't matter where you were born in the order. You still don't get a say-so because you are just a brother. Jesus Christ is the one who directs our church. So we need to remember that. There is no special group of people that runs Jesus Church. How ridiculous is that? Do you have a special group of people that runs your home? No. You run it because it's yours. If you have a group of people that runs your home, it's not your home anymore. It's that group of people's. Okay? We are all brothers. This is why we run from titles. This is why we run from recognition of people, and why we run from the prominent church member is going to speak, and we need to listen to the prominent person. Oh, that's not Christian. That's pagan. However, in it, he says something, though. He says that some are called to serve. In other words, there is all the brothers, and then there's those who go under everyone else. I'm going to come back to that, but remember that. There's people who are not above everyone. There's people who are below everyone. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. So we have Jesus, it's Jesus' church. Then we have that we are all brothers. Notice this in John 10. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow. Who do they follow? They follow the shepherd, don't they? For they know his voice. Why do they follow him? Because they listen to him. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 26 and 27. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus is presenting two groups of people, sheep and everybody else. Sheep listen to Jesus and follow Jesus. And if you don't listen to Jesus and you don't follow Jesus, it's because you're not a sheep. Pretty simple, right? If you listen to Jesus and follow Jesus, you're a sheep. If you don't listen to Jesus and you don't follow Jesus, it's because you are not a sheep. That means you are lost. That means you're a pagan. That means you're on your way to hell. Okay? Now, what I'm teaching this morning, this is where I want you to see everything, because we've talked about, whether you realize it or not, this is something we've talked about even before I was even hired as a pastor here. I was asked by the pulpit committee, how do you feel about working with deacons? And my answer was, I don't mind working with deacons, but I think the Bible teaches that there should be elders. And we have been moving this way, because I want you to notice this. What I'm going to teach you this morning only works with sheep. It doesn't work with goats. And it doesn't work with wolves. Why do you think we have been so concerned with who is a member of this church? Because we only want sheep. Goats can attend all they want to. Wolves, there's the door. But we want to be filled with sheep. Why? Because sheep are the only ones who hear the master's voice and follow it. You know what? Goats are loud, obnoxious, noisy, and bullheaded. And they like to butt heads. How many of you have ever seen that? And that just described most Baptist business meetings, did it not? Because you know what they're full of? Goats. The reason we have been so concerned with who is a member of our church, because if you are going to follow Jesus' voice, you need to get rid of the goats and the wolves. Because you know what happens when you got a bunch of goats bleeding? The sheep can't hear the shepherd. How many of you have ever been in a business meeting where the precious sheep of the church were run over by goats and wolves. It happens, does it not? You know what the job of the shepherd is? To run off the goats and shoot the wolves. Why? Because only sheep can hear the master's voice. So if you begin to see here, we're slowly connecting some dots here. And what you can begin to see is if this is Jesus' church, then who is going to know what he wants? The sheep. We don't discern what he wants by popular vote. That's ludicrous. Let's all vote what my wife thinks. How about we just ask her? Isn't that a better option? But you see, if you're a goat, Jesus doesn't speak where you hear. And you're going to do what you want. How many of y'all have ever heard someone say, I know what the Bible says, but I think. I don't think, I know, you're a goat. You are a goat. If you don't follow the shepherd, it's because you're not his sheep. I've had people, and they say, we shouldn't do this as a church. And I say, well, Jesus says right here. And they say, I know Jesus says that, but I'm not comfortable with it. Either follow him or you're a goat. That's just the reality. You know, when we talk about things as a church, you might not be comfortable with it. But that's not the question you need to ask. You need to ask the question, has the shepherd commanded it? And if the shepherd says it, I really don't care what you have to say. I don't care if everyone in the church here disagrees with me. If the shepherd says it, I will walk alone. Because you know what? Wide is the path that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Sometimes it means we as sheep walk a very narrow road. But notice what happens. The shepherd speaks, and what happens? The sheep hear. Notice this in 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is why the idea of Roman Catholicism is such a blasphemous from the pits of hell religion. You can't hear from God. You have to go through a priest. And you know what many Baptist churches have become? You are a little peon who can't hear from God. Don't bother reading the Bible. You can't understand it. Don't bother praying. We have a select group of people, and they're the only ones who hear the shepherd's voice, and you better do what they say. And you know, this is one of the disasters, by the way, of voting. You know what happens to voting? The voice of the shepherd goes out the window. Because the voice of the majority is the only thing that's heard. You ever heard of the children of Israel coming to the promised land? And what happened? Two people heard the voice of God. No one else did. And they got outvoted. And everyone died. But those two people. You know what happens so often in business meetings? One little person has the voice of the shepherd in writing. But the majority says I, and all they get to say is nay. And you know what happened to the voice of Jesus Christ in that church? It is silenced by a vote. Think about it. Haven't you seen this? There were people who know the Word of God. It doesn't matter what the Word of God says. As long as the majority wants to go a certain way. No, we don't make decisions that way. One least of these church members with the Word of God carries the day than the majority without a verse of Scripture. We follow the shepherd, no other man's voice. And each member of the church, if you want me to be honest, this is one of my biggest disappointments with our congregation, but also one of my greatest joys with our congregation. You are responsible as a sheep to discern the voice of the shepherd. And you know what disappoints me? Is when we do have meetings, virtually no one shows up. You know why we're having this on a Sunday morning? Because if we had it on a Wednesday night, there'd be 12 people there. That is not Christianity. If you are a sheep, you should have been praying about this for years. If you are a sheep, when Glenn's name was brought up, you should have been studying those scriptures. You should have been talking to Glenn. You should have been having him in your home. And you should have been praying to hear the voice of the Spirit. And in one respect, that's been my greatest disappointment. Is that so many people, well, I'll just let the pastor and deacons make that decision. Or even worse, I won't show up and say anything. I'll just complain all the time. That has been one of my greatest disappointments. And one of my greatest joys is the number of people who have said, no, as a Christian, I have a responsibility to study Scripture, to talk with Glenn, to pray, and to know and discern the voice of the shepherd. This is something we as a church have got to do better. We've got to do better. Because you are responsible to hear the voice of the shepherd. You are responsible to be a Berean and study Scripture. You are responsible before God for your soul. You are responsible to ask the question, what is Jesus Christ saying to His church? And you do not need a pope. You do not need a deacon. You do not need an elder to stand between you and God. The veil has been rent and you can walk into God's presence. You can read and you have the Bible in your own language. The problem is laziness. That's the problem. And we as God's people are called to hear His voice. Now, you can see where everything begins to come together. If this is Jesus' church, and we are all brothers, then we have to meet together to see what Jesus is saying. And that's the only question. We're not here. I don't care what you have to say, and you better not care what I have to say. We only have one question. What is Jesus saying to His church? Doesn't it say in Revelation, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the seven churches? That's why we're gathering this afternoon. Not to hear anybody talk. We're gathering to hear what the Spirit says to our church. Notice this. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So there are people who are going to serve as deacons, elders, teachers, pastors, evangelists. There are going to be people who are called to serve in those capacities. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice this. Why does God call different people to serve in these capacities? Why does God call some men to serve as deacons, some men to serve as elders? Why? For the building up of the church. Notice this. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Is that not what we prayed for this morning? Unity? Notice this. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Where is unity found? Where we all lay down our differences, hold hands, and sing kumbaya. No. Where is unity found? In knowing the Son of God. If we all covenant together, it's up there on the wall, by the way, if you join the church, that's what you agree to do. If we covenant together to follow the shepherd, you know what that means? When He speaks and we follow, we will all be unified. The only way for us to be disunified is if A, we're goats and don't hear the voice of the shepherd, or B, we are immature believers who are just learning to discern the voice of the Spirit. You know what God has given to His church? He has given to His church, specifically in the context of what we're talking today, elders. Not to be above the flock, but to be below the flock. To help the immature and the sick sheep hear and follow the voice of the shepherd. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Jesus Christ desires the very best for Antioch Baptist Church. And what we are experiencing presently is not all that He has in store. And He is looking at our church and He is saying, come, follow me over the hill to greener pastures. Come, follow me to beautiful still waters. Come, follow me to better fruit. Come, follow me to see an awakening, to see people saved, to see healing, to see restoration. Come, follow me. The fruit is better over the hill. The pasture is better over the hill. Come, follow me. Now let me ask you one simple question. Who is going to hear the shepherd's voice first, loudest and clearest? The mature believer who has been walking with the Lord for many years, and it is evidenced by the fruit and character of their lives. And what we would call that mature believer is an elder. That's what it means, mature. And how do you know they're mature? Because you look at their qualifications according to Scripture. Because any flock, what does the elder do? Well, any flock, there are going to be weak sheep, sheep that are sick, sheep that have begun to wander away out of earshot of the shepherd, sheep that were just born and don't really know the voice of their shepherd. And you know what the job of the elder is? It's not to be the first in line behind Jesus, it's to be the last in line, because He is going around and picking up the diseased sheep and carrying it on His shoulders. Because He is going to the weak sheep and He is strengthening them and carrying them. He's going to the baby sheep who says, I don't know if this is the voice of God or not. And He sits there and expounds Scripture to show them so that they might hear the voice of the shepherd and grow to maturity, that the whole flock makes it to greener pastures. That is what an elder is called to do. To serve. To teach, to encourage. That is what an elder is supposed to do. And notice this in Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Notice what he just said. He put bishops and deacons, elders and deacons, on the exact same plane as all the rest of the believers. Why? Because we're not talking about a position of special power or title. That's pagan. What we're talking about is a special calling to serve, to wash feet, to help immature believers grow into maturity, to help the flock, every member of the flock, make it over the hill. And just as it says in Matthew 18, if one member goes astray, to seek them out and to bring them in line with the shepherd. Notice this in Acts 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I called them. And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This is the way decision making takes place in the church. Jesus Christ speaks, and we say, yes, sir. And that's the end of it. That's it. There is nothing else. And if you want to see this take place, go home and read Acts 1, read Acts 6, and Acts 15. Because three times the church has to make decisions. One is who's going to serve as an apostle. The other, who's going to serve as deacons? The other's doctrine. And every single time they follow the exact same pattern. The elders and apostles, the mature believers in Christ, pray, seek Scripture, and then they come before the congregation and they say, this is what we believe the Holy Spirit is saying. They come with Scripture. They come with prayer and fasting. And then they ask the people, the sheep, is this what the shepherd is saying? Because you know what? I have been a Christian for many years, and I've been wrong many times. And there's been times I've been certain that God wanted me to do something and He didn't. And you know what I need? I need other believers. You know what it says? No scripture is of private interpretation. Okay, in other words, there is no hidden meaning that only you found out. If you're the only one that found that meaning, you found heresy. Why? Because the Spirit of God indwells all of His sheep. And so what we are gathered here this morning in just a little bit, what we're going to do is gather as members, members only of this church, and we have one question. Has the Holy Spirit of God called Glenn to serve as an elder of this church? That's it. And here is the way we're going to do it. If you haven't prayed about it, keep your mouth shut. If you haven't read Scripture, keep your mouth shut. If you haven't talked to Glenn, keep your mouth shut. The only people that should be speaking are people that want to know the voice of the shepherd. And if you have not taken the time to listen to the shepherd, you will lead this flock astray. If you have not prayed and sought Scripture, you will lead this flock astray. So what you should say is, as I have prayed and as I have studied Scripture, and as I have discussed this with Glenn, here is how I feel the Lord leading our church. This doesn't apply just to this situation with Glenn. This applies to everything in the church. One of the greatest shames is people who want to lead the direction of the church that have never studied Scripture, have never prayed, and have never talked with other believers concerning what they think. How do you even know that your opinions of God if you've never asked God? How do you even know? And quite frankly, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. I just want to know that you have prayed about it, sought Scripture, and sought to hear the voice of the shepherd. And quite frankly, if you agree with me and you haven't prayed, then please don't tell me you agree with me. If you say you agree with me and you haven't studied Scripture, then please be quiet. Because I don't want you to follow my voice. I want you to follow the voice of the shepherd. That's the only voice that matters. And if his voice is different than mine, you ignore me. And you follow him. That is the way decisions are to be made in this church. Which brings us to this conclusion. One, are you a sheep? Are you born again? Do you find yourself following the voice of the shepherd, or do you follow your own whims? If you are a sheep, are you a member of a church where people will watch out for your soul? If you are a sheep and you're not a member of a church, we would invite you to join our church, but only if you're a sheep. If you're here this morning, we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. And quite frankly, if you have sin in your life that you have not repented of, or you are at odds with a brother, you need to be far more concerned with that than with anything that takes place afterwards. And you need to make things right with God and with your brother. If you're here today and you say, I do not know the Lord, I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, so that he might change your very nature, that he might quicken your mortal body, that he might make you one of his sheep, so that you might experience the joy of sins forgiven, the peace that passes all understanding, and that you might hear the voice of the shepherd, and you might follow him all the way to glory.